Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to be back. I don't even remember where I was. Desiree and I were talking about being forgetful the older we get. Where were we last week?
Lubbock.
There you go. Could have guessed, right? Lubbock for graduation and a 90th birthday party, and here we are back again. So it's good to be back. But I did find out that I'm having to finish what Hunter couldn't. He got halfway through the Lord's Prayer. That's a long prayer if he only got halfway through it. So we're going to pick up where he left off and hopefully finish it out this morning. It's going to be in Matthew chapter 6. I need to get opened up there myself. Teach me to have my stuff put somewhere else there. Okay. Chapter 6, starting in verse 5. We're going to read the whole thing together. I'm going to read all of this little section, and then we'll break down the back half of it. And when you pray, you must not be like a hypocrite. We talked 2 weeks ago when I was last preached, we talked about that word hypocrite. And our Western definition doesn't communicate what this definition here is. It's knowing the right thing to do, doing the right thing, but for the wrong reasons. That's Jesus' definition of hypocrite. For they love to stand and pray in the synagogue and at the street corners, and they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And I know Hunter spent, there's a couple things I just want to draw your attention to as we kind of read all of that together. It's so much of what Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, as we are still kind of progressing through the Sermon on the Mount, so much of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, I've told you guys that Jesus is going to say some things that we're like, man, I don't, surely he's talking metaphorically. Surely he doesn't expect that from me. And so many times what Jesus is trying to communicate, predominantly to his 12 as they sit on this mountainside, but others are listening, is he's trying to communicate how valuable and important the heart is. Because all of these things that are expressed, so many things that Jesus is expressing in this Sermon on the Mount has to do with what's on the inside of a man, not how he portrays himself. How many people do y'all know that have portrayed themselves one way only to find out that they're really not that at all? Sometimes that's us, right? And so as Jesus is throwing down this challenge of don't pray like these people, because these people pray only for the purpose of sounding intelligent or only for the purpose of trying to garner some semblance of recognition on themselves. He's saying, pray like this. Go into a room and God knows your heart. I don't know if y'all have ever done, I've done this a few times in my life, and in those few times, it was just times in my life where I was super struggling, where I just went to a quiet, dark place and laid prostrate on the ground and begged for God to hear my prayer. I think there are times in our life that we get to that place where we realize that life is completely out of control. But in the midst of the chaos, we know we need to find this focused and centered time. But so oftentimes in our life, that is so momentary. And so when Jesus is saying pray, he gives them this outline. And Hunter talked about the front half of the outline of this prayer. And honestly, I think it's a prayer we don't spend enough time looking at. Because if you want to know how to pray, this is what his disciples ask. This isn't the only place this is mentioned. They ask, how do we pray? And Jesus says, pray like this. Do you think we ought to listen to that? If he's given us the example of how to do it, might be pretty wise to actually listen to it. But the back half of this prayer, I think sometimes we get lost in this because we're like, I don't know that I like praying like that. And so we're going to start this morning at verse 12. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And so is anybody in here like the sound of being forgiven? Anybody in here like the sound of offering forgiveness? It seems like they're connected, though, right? It seems like that these two ideas are connected, and we don't like the connection. We would rather kind of take them apart because it's something in our existence is like, man, I deserve forgiveness, right? But Henry, you don't, right? We're playing that role of who gets it and who doesn't get it. Who's offered it and who's not offered it. Jesus gives a parable about a guy that owes another guy $1 zillion, and he forgives the debt. And the guy turns around, and can you imagine? Has anybody been under, like, monetary debt that's just overwhelming? Like, it just presses in. Man, you need to have your credit score checked. It's just overwhelming, isn't it? And to maybe make that final payment, right? What do? It's like, it's like this burden, right, has been kind of taken off your shoulders. And we enjoy that moment, right? And then we go get more debt, right? Because we have more expendable income now. I mean, this is how our brains function. So many times you get to this place of freedom. And I think that's what Jesus is talking about. He's saying, hey, this idea of forgiveness is an idea of freedom. Because when you don't... So we started this 4 years ago at Autoworld. December 31st, and it hurts a little, right? December 31st, I draw a name out of my customer base. And I started this on our 20-year anniversary. Kind of like, hey, this would be cool. Do this on our 20th anniversary. I'm going to draw a name out of all my customers who are current on their accounts but still owe me money. And whoever I draw, I'm going to wipe out their debt on their car. Now, some of y'all are thinking, man, I wish GMAC would do that, right? And I can remember the first time we did it, and the guy that won, he was excited, he was elated, you know, and then I start hearing, hey, you guys going to do that every year? And I was like, that's probably not a bad idea. And so we started doing that every year, and I've seen so many different reactions. Hunter now is the one who likes to call the customer. Why? Because they're excited to talk to Hunter, right? They're not normally excited to talk to him, but in this moment, and they hear that phone ring, and they know what we're doing, they're pretty fired up. Because they know they're fixing to get something they didn't necessarily deserve. I can remember one lady, she bought her car in November, and I paid it off in December. And when I called her, she's like, y'all are just playing a trick on me. And the whole time, she comes into my office and she's still thinking, where's the trick? What's fixing to happen here? Because she didn't believe it until I handed her the title and said, it's free and clear. And in that moment, she was like, oh, this is real. And I think so many of us live our lives that way. We beg of God's forgiveness, but we don't believe it's real. And so we keep walking through life unforgiven because we haven't grabbed a hold of the forgiveness that he offers because we don't even know how to extend it. When somebody violates me, the last thing I want to do is forgive them. And then the bars come down on the cage that I'm living in because how they violated me is offensive. And I feel like I have a right. I have a right. Anybody heard this? I have a right to be mad. I've told that to my kids. I have a right to be mad. Well, I would imagine Jesus had the right not to get on the cross. And he forfeited that right to give me the right that I so struggle claiming, the right to be His. There shouldn't be anything else in life that we desire other than the right to be called a child of God. And I'm here to tell you that this connection of forgiveness is such a valuable part. And He's saying, listen, if someone has been forgiven, right, and embraces the forgiveness that they've been given. Y'all hear that? Because it's twofold. Oftentimes, does anybody in here know that God will forgive you? But oftentimes we won't even forgive ourselves. We expect forgiveness from God because God says He'll forgive me, right? But the reality is we're still walking around in life hampered by our inability to genuinely receive forgiveness. And I'm telling you, there's no freedom in that. There's no freedom in just uttering the words, I forgive you, or I receive forgiveness, unless you're going to immerse yourself. I mean, the whole idea of baptism is to immerse yourself, to bury yourself, to bury who you formerly were, and to be raised up anew, washed, cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, so that you might live. Live what? I just read it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, didn't I? That Christ's love controls us. And if Christ's love is going to control me, that means I've learned to embrace the forgiveness that He offers. And what more would I or should I want for mankind other than to experience the forgiveness that I myself have experienced? See, we understand it in the concept of debt, right? That parable about the guy forgiving the guy of the zillions of dollars that he owes, and then he goes out and he demands to be repaid the $20. I'm using my own numbers here, but y'all get the point. The $20 that somebody else owes him. He's been forgiven this great debt and won't forgive this little thing. And so oftentimes in our life, we like to hang on to stuff because that hanging on to stuff gives us a pulse. And it's because our pulse has been manifested in the world that we live in and not in the Christ that died for us. And so when Jesus is challenging His 12 here, woo, and it's a hard challenge, and it's a challenge we should pray. He's saying, do this all the time. Pray this way all the time. What do I need to pray for? That I can genuinely understand and appreciate what it means to receive the forgiveness that You offered. So that I can genuinely offer the forgiveness that I've received. Because oftentimes we don't give forgiveness because we've never received it. We've never experienced the freeness that God has given us in His forgiveness. I want you to hear this morning. So much of who we are is defined by what we will not or refuse to receive. Man, this is not a backwards idea. If we understand the heart in which Jesus is talking about, He's saying, listen, you know I'm going to forgive you, and you ask for forgiveness, and then you'll walk out of the room acting unforgiven. Y'all hearing this? And if I'm not going to receive the forgiveness that Jesus has so freely offered, how in the world am I going to offer it? Let that sink. Jesus offers something. You know, not one time in the 4 years that I have wiped the debt for a customer. You know, I've had mixed reviews on that. Read some Facebook posts of, man, I knew it wouldn't be me. I knew you wouldn't draw my name. It's the life we live in, right? Oh, you had all this sin in your life. You act all forgiven, but man, we're the same person. I've had them not believe me until I hand them the title to their car. I've had so many mixed reactions to this, right? But not one time have I said, I am forgiving your debt, that they didn't say, okay. Jesus is offering each of us forgiveness. Not some feel-good word salad. Forgiveness. But you got to claim it. You have to claim it. You have to own it. You have to embrace it. And when you take that, everything in you wants to give it. Do you know how fun it is? I don't even worry about the cost anymore. That it costs my business or me personally that I'm doing that. I don't even care. I want to do it. Matter of fact, I want to do it every month. Don't tell Hunter, okay? Because I want people to embrace that. I want people to embrace that emotion of the weight being taken off. We are begging for God for forgiveness, but we're walking around burdened. He's saying, drop it off at the cross. I died for it. Now do what? Die again? No. Live. Live what? Free. Free from the burden of sin. Do you know how fun that would be? We all go around saying it. But how many of us are actually living it? How many of us have truly embraced the forgiveness that God has offered us? Not looking back, but pressing forward. If you're a child of God, you have been forgiven. Allow that forgiveness to wash over you. To make you whole, to experience the freedom that God intended for His children to live. You know, all through the Old Testament, we see this oppression and we see this struggle and we see the struggle between God and man. And we see man messing up and we see this vicious cycle over and over. And Jesus comes in and He breaks the cycle, but we're still living in it. We're still doing the exact same thing. We're still messing up and going, well, I did it again. Not, let's do it differently again. Jesus concludes His prayer with this. That was a sermon all by itself. Now we're going into the second one. This is one we've always struggled with. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Does God really lead me into temptation? I'm going to change, do a little wordplay here, and put test in there instead of temptation. I think it's more appropriately and more accurately defined by the word test. And through a lot of the people that I've looked at and their interpretation of the original on this, test would be more appropriate than temptation. But with that being said, it's saying, don't do it. Don't leave. Does anybody want to be tested by God? Put your arm up like that. Do you think Jesus did? I mean, because I think in John chapter 3, Jesus is baptized. He immediately goes into the wilderness, right? He fasts for 40 days. And what happens? He's tempted, right? Tested. At his strongest moment, Hunter, fasted for 3 days and he started blacking out. So 40 days, I imagine, you're seeing things, right? But in this moment, these tests come. And it's God saying, listen, I need you to resolve yourself to something. And so oftentimes, these are kind of connected to forgiveness. So many times in our life, we're just not resolved. We're just not resolute. We're just not convicted to this is who I'm going to be. And so God, I don't want the test, but, if the test comes, deliver me. Deliver me from evil. You know, can you imagine Adam and Eve walking around in a garden? Picture that for a second, before the fall, so that they, I don't know, they're naked, but you don't really realize they are. And so, can you imagine that, you know, they're told, don't eat of that tree. And the location of that tree in the garden is right in the middle, right? So they probably had to walk by it every day. Lana buys these sprees. Is that what they are? That big bag? She's laughing. She buys this big bag of sprees. Man, Y'all like sprees? Chewy sprees. Y'all ever had the white ones? I have. You know what the white ones are? When your three-year-old son sucks all the sweet off of it and hands you a white one. And you don't realize it. So I've had white ones too. Here's the crazy thing about sprees. I kind of like them. I don't think of them when they're not in the house. But when I know they're in the house, I know I want them. And I know I'm going to eat them. Kind of like Girl Scout cookies, right? When you know they're in the freezer, you're going to go ahead and eat them. But if they're not in the freezer, you might think about them for a second, right? But at the end of the day, you're like, nah, we don't have any. And so oftentimes in our life, it's like, I want to go on a diet. Lana, take the Girl Scout cookies out of the house. Take the sprees out of the house. Take the ice cream out of the house. I don't want any Cokes in the house. I just want water and I want vegetables, right? And what am I doing? It's saying, I don't want to be tested. I don't want to be tested. I want you to eliminate all the things that would keep me from my diet. Just get rid of them, because if they're not here, I'm just going to sit down and eat a rice cake. But if they're here, guess what? It's like they have voices and they call you, right? And they're like, hey, haven't seen you in a couple days. Come. And I'm like, okay. Right? You guys, I mean, you get what I'm talking about, right? He's saying, listen, God, don't lead me into that place. Why? Man, we struggle with that place, don't we? Who in here struggles with that place? We'd rather eliminate all the obstacles than have to walk by them every day. When I walk from the kitchen to the shop, which I like the shop and I like the kitchen, but in between's the sprees. And so it's like I want to change my direction, right? I'll go out the front door and around the house all the way to the shop because I just can't do it. And so oftentimes in our life, it's like, God, this is our prayer. Y'all hear me on this because you've prayed this before. Remove the temptations from my life. Remove them. I want you to hear that prayer. It's a selfish one. It's a selfish one. And it does nothing for your heart. It helps your outward actions, right? I'm sure Adam and Eve said, hey, God, if you don't want us to eat of that tree, man, hire somebody and take this thing out, right? It'd be a whole lot easier not to eat of it if it's not there. But it'd also be a lot harder for us to understand the relationship that God desires with his children if there's no obstacles in the way. Because every time Adam and Eve did walk past that tree and didn't eat, they honored God with their heart and their action. Don't pray that God remove the testing out of your life. Pray that when it comes, he delivers you from evil. Pray that when it happens, he's faithful. Pray that when those things in our lives push us into directions we don't like and that we know we don't like, pray that he is there. Because when God's got you and you've been forgiven and you've embraced that status in life, the burden is lifted. The desire to face the struggles that we have instead of avoiding the struggles that we have. The ability to show God, this is who I am. I'm yours. And I'm going to show you by walking from the kitchen to the shop and not stopping for sprees. I'm going to show you how much I love you. I hope that you see the value, and I hope that this has pulled at your heart a little, as it has done mine. I think offering forgiveness would be so much easier if we genuinely knew how to embrace it. I think temptations will be there in our paths. Don't pray that God remove them. Pray that God strengthens you to face them. James, the brother of Jesus, writes a letter. He says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds, because the testing of your faith develops perseverance. That's the kind of faith I want. Faith that's been tested against the frustrating world that we live in. And in those tests, in those things in my life, those obstacles in my life, the things that I can't, I know I can't in my own ability overcome, but through God's strength that I can. I know my heart is being developed more to hear the voice of God. And the more I hear the voice of God, the easier it is to walk through and walk past those things in my life. But at constant failures and letting ourselves off the hook, we struggle with. How many of y'all have tried to stop something and it slaps you in the face and it just breaks you, right? Because you're like, I just can't do this. You're right. But He can. And pray when those times come in your life that God deliver you from the evil one. As Jesus uttered this prayer in the Sermon on the Mount, let it be a guideline and example for who we should be and what we should desire in life. If there's anything this morning that we can do for you, prayers, just letting go of what God's already let go of, but you're not letting go of it. You're not embracing the forgiveness that He's offered. If there's anything that we can do for you, I'd ask that you come as Mark leads us in an invitation song.